Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with A Word in Edgewise. Today is the 6th of October, the 279th day of 2025, with 86 days left in our journey to 2026. The oldest terrestrial globe known in the world is that designed by German navigator and geographer Martin von Baum, who was born today in 1459, and who called his globe the Erdapfel, German for Earth Apple. Von Baum's globe is archetypal. Sitting in its ring support on a wooden tripod, the Erdapfel became a model for all subsequent globes of stately status, though the accuracy of the globe's cartography would become much improved upon by successive imitators almost immediately. Anachronistically, the world map depicted on the Erdapfel is based primarily on the geography of 2nd century geographer Ptolemy, but close enough provides plenty of leeway. Somewhat analogously to our current Keatsian Maine autumn with a twist, where we may naively believe these past couple of weeks have brought us the traditional season of mists and mellow fruitfulness that we find at the beginning of English romantic poet John Keats's last ode, To Autumn. But looking a little further, we suspect this year's foliage colors are subdued, even as the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry reports moderate to high color change throughout most of Maine, with northern Maine displaying peak conditions. Meanwhile, the U.S. Drought Monitor shows 60% of Maine experiencing a severe drought and 17% experiencing extreme drought conditions, with the remaining 23% experiencing moderate drought. This past Friday's Bangor Daily News says more than 170 Mainers were reporting dry wells last week. Bringing things back around to von Baum's Erdapfel, or Earth Apple, at my girlfriend's and my building site along the Stillwater River, which we call Terra Plen, we have an apple tree that produces, in most years, medium-sized green apples. Not in abundance, but enough for us to appreciate their existence, which this autumn has been much reduced. Whether the drought has been a factor, we have yet to determine. And unless in all of this we forget John Keats, who I was thinking about quite a bit this past week after venturing down to my friend George's place in Seal Cove on Mount Desert Island, where we ran some spruce and cedar logs through his sawmill and managed to garner some fine plank and boards, respectively, poet Stanley Plumley, a Keats aficionado himself, has a few things to add about appreciating whatever moments we might have, especially should they be near a place like that described in his poem, Beach. The end, I think, will be a little like looking down as far as I can see to where the wind has picked up the tide and turned it all the same. Sea, spume, the air. There might even be someone talking, walking toward me. The way in the edge of the ocean blue light, they'll be obscure until the last moment. I think it'll be late afternoon. The sky, that luminous oyster white into which things disappear. I'll stop to look at the sky, and the moment I do, I realize I'm alone. I misunderstood the figure coming toward me, which, considering the time of day, is as it should be, especially now that the wind has kicked up a little and the white sun is almost dropped under the soft gray, almost stillness of the water. It seems just the right hour to be, again, alive. Every day we celebrate the beginning of new lives and find some comfort in our hope for the future. Among the abundantly famous birthdays today are those of Jenny Lind, George Westinghouse, Le Corbusier, Martine Louise Guzman, Janet Gaynor, Thor Heyerdahl, Fanny Lou Hamer, Britt Eklund, Jerry Adams, David Hidalgo, and Elizabeth Shue. And of noteworthy historical significance, 98 years ago today, the world was introduced to the sound era of motion pictures with the premiere in New York City of The Jazz Singer. Heavenward this evening, a little before midnight in the eastern sky, we'll have the full super harvest moon, also known variously as the hunter's moon, the drying rice moon, the falling leaves moon, the freezing moon, and the mitigating moon. And tomorrow evening in the northwest sky, just after darkness falls, watch for the draconid meteor shower, which has its radiant point near the head of the constellation Draco the Dragon, slightly above to the left of the Little Dipper. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with A Word in Edgewise, welcoming this third full week of fall and the 41st week of 2025. Keep the faith.